This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt on the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And hello there from the sous chef of the garden, Franklin Proctor. And as we wave goodbye to a woman's perspective team, there they go out the door, dancing and skipping and laughing.
Listen,
Marilyn,
to you.
Well, Marilyn has a rum and coke while she does the show.
It's like, I think it's rum and
coke.
Oh,
you should
coffee.
Have seen the look I got there. Yeah. Yikes. I'm never going to go to her place now.
Get dressed?
No.
No wardrobe doctor for you.
Oh. Anyway, hey.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you very much. I understand my sous chef.
Sous chef.
That's right.
Yes.
Robbie Lane did a fine job.
He did a fine job, but nobody can do your job like you.
You know, I'm going to have to hold classes for Robbie. and I think not just an oral test either of, you know, how things are, how it's all to be done here, but I think I'm going to have him write a test on hard copy. You know.
Well, you know what the other option is? Stop being away on Saturdays.
Well, oh.
Like,
oh,
well, consider that, OT
well, no.
member.
Oh, gee, that was a smack in the face, wasn't it? The one thing that I would have told Robbie right off the bat is to get those phone numbers in with the mantra. Now, the phone numbers, if you're listening in from anywhere in the province of Ontario or anywhere else for that matter, in Toronto, 416-360-0740 to speak to my wonderful, wonderful Master Gardener Charlie Dobbin, and then anywhere else in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. That being said, the mantra, yes. Call early, call often, one question per call. There you
go. Good, you see? You're just a little bit rusty, but you haven't really lost it.
Yes, no, I'm getting sharper as the minutes go on here.
Hey, talking about being sharp, I know, I was telling you before we came on air, we had a power failure for a number of hours last night.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm feeling a little, not quite with the routines because, you know, alarm clocks.
Oh, and you're awake half the night going, ooh, I'm afraid I'm going to miss it.
Yeah. So the cell phone is, you know, snuggled up to my ear with the alarm set on that just in case the power doesn't come on. And, you know, coffee, of course, couldn't come on. So, but I'm here. I'm back.
Yes.
It's all good. A couple of quick announcements. One of them is, for those of you that want to send me an email, I had a good example this week. Somebody was trying to send me an email and they didn't have the email address right.
Ah, well,
so
let's correct that.
They did. This person did find me through one of my other multi-emails because scary how many different addresses I have. The one for here.
Well, you have to.
The station email is my first initial C and my last name Dobbin. So CDOBBIN at am740.ca. So it's that .ca that's the killer. The individual who was trying to get a hold of me was using .com, and of course it was bouncing back. Right. Quick announcements. Today at the Toronto Botanical Gardens is Harvest Day.
Oh, you spoke of this last week or the week before, I think.
Did I?
I was going to say,
you weren't here last week. Were you listening last week?
I was at a wedding.
Well, so it's Harvest Day because this is the first full day of fall or autumn. The autumnal time of year has started. So it is the time of celebration and giving back to the community. Join the children of the Toronto Botanical Garden programs to harvest the teaching garden, create and participate in art, music, and drama. You should have your grandbabies here. But, of course, you can't because you're busy all day with the station. But anyway, you can buy your fall pumpkins, stunning pre-made outdoor urns, free guided tours, how-to demos. The head gardener, Sandra Pella, will be there, and she's got lots to share and explain. And, of course, the Toronto Master Gardeners will also be on hand to answer any questions today from 12 noon until 4 p.m. at the Toronto Botanical Gardens.
How many of you Master Gardeners are kicking around?
There's about 880, I think,
really?
In the province of Ontario.
No kidding.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting organization. It's always kind of recruiting, always looking for more members. The kind of person who becomes a master gardener is a hobby gardener who wants to take it to the next level, who wants to just learn that much more. Often it's somebody who's just retired, perhaps, or is changing something in their lifestyle so they've got a little more time on their hands because there's studying involved. You have to, you know, take classes.
Like, and there are tests here. I
mean,
it's not awarded if you get a nice face.
Yeah, just to pass the courses. Then, of course, there's a test to join the Master Gardeners. Mm-hmm. And along with passing that test, there's a commitment of time because Master Gardeners do volunteer their time on an annual basis, minimum of 30 hours a year. So, you know, all of that requires time and commitment.
Sure.
But, you know, if you really love to garden and you love to talk about it and share it, it's a great way to meet others.
And as you are wont to point out, this time of year is a very busy time for gardeners.
Sure
right?
is.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's so much going on for in our gardens, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because it's fall doesn't mean we're really winding down. There's all that, you know, cleanup to do.
Preparation for the next growing season.
Next, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, thinking about, you know, you can still be transplanting and planting. There's
nematode buying is really high on the list.
You're so funny. Get out your suitcase and go out nematode buying.
Yeah.
But you know what? That you brings up a good point. It's actually a tiny bit late for applying nematodes at this point. But there was a real serious Japanese beetle problem across Ontario this year. They're in places this year that they've never been before. They are an insect that's moving. They only arrived in Canada in the 30s.
Did it start from the West and move?
Started in Japan.
Yeah.
From Japan to the United States in 1918. First discovered in somewhere in the States and then arrived in Canada in the 30s. And it's been slowly but surely came in through, well, you know, St. Catharines in Niagara.
Yeah, yeah.
They've had Japanese beetles for years and years and been, you know, fighting with them. But now we're getting them up into Toronto and North Toronto. And I ran into a few
and those
people.
Those samurai beetles, boy, they are tough to get rid of.
Well, the thing is, it's the life cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about grubs and the nematodes for the lawns, the grubs are the larva of the, are one of the larva that we find in our lawns that are the larva of the Japanese beetle. So it's just a horrible insect when it chews up your lawn roots and plant roots. But then when it moves into the beetle or adult phase, it does even more damage, chewing all the roses and the leaves all just disappear overnight.
Little devils.
Oh, they're just real little devils. So they're fun to squish when you're in the mood to do some squishing. Quickly, one more thing. Next weekend, 1st and 2nd of October, the Fine Arts Society of Milton is presenting their studio tour. Both days from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m., self-guided tour of the Artisan Studios. There are 30 locations, 48 artists. For more information, go to www.fasm, so Fine Arts Society of Milton.ca.
All righty. And you've already made David Gaskin's day, our producer. You squeezed in the word squish. And and that was, he always likes it when you kind of get violent on the show.
Of course.
Okay. We're going to take a little break here, unless you have anything else to add, Charlie.
No, I think we'll go to our break, and then I'm going to read you a couple of maybe emails, and we'll get some calls. And
wonderful.
Get happening.
Okay. All righty. Very good. We'll be back in just a moment here with the Charlie Dobbin Show on AM 740.
Friends say she's down to earth, and that's usually where you'll find her. Welcome back to the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And the happy troika, David Gaskin, our producer, Frank Proctor, here as the sous chef of the garden, along with our master gardener, one of some 822 that we've last counted, Charlie Dobbin.
880, actually.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? I'm sorry.
Something like that.
Vivian in Burlington's on the line, ready to pose a question, so let's get to it. Hi, Vivian.
Good morning.
Morning.
Charlie and Frank.
Nice to have you with us. What's your question?
My question is to do with time to prune certain things in the garden, because I'm getting two stories, and I want to have Charlie's recommendation. Rose of Sharon and peonies, hydrangeas, burning bushes, and all other perennials.
Mm. Good questions. Right. So the question is when to prune those various plants you've just mentioned.
Yes.
So you live in Burlington. So here's what I would do if I lived in Burlington. Rose of Sharon, I would not touch it until the spring. And I would do all my pruning in the early spring. Funny thing about Rose of Sharon, it's one of the last plants to actually break forth with a little bit of greenery. So we often think it's dead when it's in the spring because everything else is green, but the Rose of Sharon isn't. That's when you start pruning because it's so easy. There's no leaves. You can totally see what's going on.
Right.
Now, burning bush? Oh, peonies? Peonies you trim after we've had a hard frost. First hard frost, you'll get the leaves will turn purple, burgundy, very pretty. The leaves typically collapse right around that time after a good hard frost.
Yeah.
And you trim the peony right down to ground level at that point.
Early spring?
In the fall.
Oh, in the fall.
Peonies we trim in the fall. And you remove the leaves that you've trimmed and put them either in the composter or out with the other leaves, you know, bags. Uh-huh. Peonies can have get botrytis. Fungal diseases. So the last thing you want to do is leave peony leaves in the garden over the winter.
Okay.
So trim them right down in the fall. New shoots can come up very easily in the spring, and you don't have to touch them in the spring.
Okay. Hydrangea.
Depends what kind of hydrangea. If it's a big macrophylla, the ones with the round flowers, or the
peony. Big round flowers.
Right. So leave the hydrangeas alone. Actually, I leave all my hydrangeas alone for the winter to enjoy the flowers get all crispy and bronze, and they hang on all winter, and they're quite ornamental. So I typically leave all the hydrangeas alone in the winter. In the spring, with the round or ball type hydrangeas, I would just wait until a little bit of green is starting to show along the stems, and then I go through and where I live, it's usually all the hydrangeas of that type, the macrophyllas, get trimmed down to about 4 inches tall, just right through all stems are removed to about the 4-inch height, down to the green buds.
Okay, burning bushes.
Anytime you want. Because burning bush doesn't have a flower that we love. So with our flowering shrubs, we wait until and do our pruning right after they flower. But of course, burning bush is not about the flowers. So I find burning bush is easiest to trim in the spring because then you can, again, no leaves are there yet. You can see what you're doing. I wouldn't want to do it in the fall because, of course, you still want to enjoy
the burn.
Mm-hmm. That's what burning bushes are all about.
Yes.
So in the spring is usually the best time.
Early spring.
Yep, early spring. Before the leaves come out.
Okay. And then all other perennials like sedums and all those ferns and all those, are they spring or fall?
Well, generally speaking with the perennials, if they have flowers that will set seeds that are something that can provide bird food or ornamental value through the winter, I leave them alone in the fall and trim in the spring. That could include sedum, it could include the ornamental grasses, even the black-eyed Susans. I leave them alone all winter, trim in the spring. But as you mentioned, peony, that's a very good example, or anything that's really unsightly in the fall, I trim it right down in the fall before winter.
Thank you so much.
Vivian, I've got to congratulate
your show.
I've got to congratulate you, Vivian. Usually the mantra goes, you know, one question per call sort of thing. But you start off with the subject matter of pruning.
One question.
Yeah, and
smart.
You worked around that beautifully. I've just undying admiration for your technique. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Have a lovely day.
Thank you very much.
Vivian.
Coming around to 20 minutes after 9 o'clock here.
She was smooth.
And had them all down there. And zing, zing, zing. Yes, siri, bop. And we've got them all down too, right?
We sure do. All that work that Vivian's going to get doing out in the garden. You hear how much trimming and pruning she's got to do. I hope she's remembering to take her Sierra Sil.
Absolutely.
If she's got any pain in wrists or elbows or shoulders or hips or anything. Knees that make it tough to bend. I know with me sitting at the computer a lot at this time of year, my knees start to stiffen, and Sierra Sil really helps. It just doesn't work for everybody, but it certainly helps me keep moving, if you
will.
That's
right.
And for you as well, Mr. Kickboxer. We have a big distance between us here in the studio because I don't trust him. He can just fly out at any minute with that leg. Sierra Sil is a natural mineral supplement that you take on a daily basis. If you have any stiffness and need information, give them a call at 1-877-JOINT-14.
You supply the what and where, and she'll come through with the how. You're listening to the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And a good morning to you from Frank Proctor, the sous chef of the garden, saying hi to Phyllis in Alliston. Hi, Phyllis. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Morning.
How's Charlie and you doing today?
We're having a great day. How are things in Alliston?
Oh, it's quite nice now.
Yeah, stopped raining?
Yes, it did. Anyways, we have quite a bit of trees on the property, on one side of our property. They're 50 feet high. They're spruce.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of them is turning like a brown color on one side of the tree.
Mm.
I was just wondering if that's anything to worry about, or could I do anything for it, or...
Yes, it is. Particularly if you're seeing that sort of all the way up the 50-foot expanse of the tree.
Okay.
Usually, okay, there's a lot of different reasons why spruces will, you know, there are some diseases, there are some insects. But when it's only on one side, was there any kind of construction that took place or...
No, that I know of, no.
Because spruce are very susceptible to compaction of their roots. If there was some truck traffic or something going on the ground or the land to the on that side of the spruce, that
okay.
can have a big effect on the roots and the roots' ability to get moisture and air and all the things they need, and thus the one side of the tree can really suffer.
Yeah, that it seems that it doesn't get the sun on that side.
Okay.
That's what I was suspecting.
Is it right banged up against other plants there, or is it just
it's
north side?
Right in the middle of the property, but right down the other side of it is all spruce too, but they seem to be fine. Just the one that seems to be sitting beside, the other ones. I don't know.
Well, it's the kind of thing that it's hard to diagnose over the radio. It
right.
does come down to, if you have lots of spruce, you might say to yourself, okay, if I lost one spruce, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
No.
But if there's a concern that what's killing that spruce could affect the other spruce, it might be the kind of thing you really do need a proper diagnosis on what's going on.
Okay.
I would recommend calling in a certified arborist to take a look.
Okay.
And how you would find an arborist in your area would be to go to the website, which is the International Society of Arboriculture, ISA, and you'll find proper certified, trained people in your neighborhood who can come in and at least advise on what's your next step. It could be an insect. It could be a disease. It could just be like we're thinking, something, bad air circulation, poor sun, whatever. But the plant did get to 50 feet tall, so it was a happy plant up until a point. So something's
right.
going on.
Yeah.
And like I say, it's a bit hard to diagnose for sure.
Okay.
But always worth, with the big trees, always worth to know what's going on so you can at least make proper judgment on what your next best step should be.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Phyllis.
Okay, have a good day.
You
and
betcha.
You.
Bye now.
Let's fly off to Fenland Falls here and have a word with Joanne. Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
Morning.
Good morning, Charlie. Charlie, I have a shrub rose.
Mm-hmm.
The thing's probably about 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know when is the best time to trim it, because it's got a lot of real woody stems in it.
Yep, big old stuff.
Yeah.
When I would do it is in the spring. For a couple of reasons. One is, if you leave it alone for the winter, you have shrub roses can be very beautiful. They get covered in hips.
Oh, yeah.
The fruit after the flowers are the hips. And the birds, of course, love the hips. So you get a lot of bird action. And, the seeds are super high quality food for the winter time for many of the chickadees and the various birds that are around.
Oh.
So I would leave it alone for the winter. Then in the spring, before anything starts to grow, I'm not talking too cold, but, might be April, it might be May on a nice sunny day. Put on your leather gauntlets and your leather suit and get yourself some long-handled loppers. And what you're going to do is get down, right down on ground level, and the big old stems, the ones that are dark gray, very woody, very typically prickly, and they have lots of bark on them. But, these are the heavy, big canes rising right from the bottom, right from the base. Those are the ones you want to take out at ground level.
Okay.
So you never take out more than one third of the plant at any one time.
Okay.
Your biggest, oldest canes are the ones that will come first.
Right.
And it'll all be a brambly mess to try and get those out. So though you'll trim at ground level, you'll then have to follow up and, take those canes out in chunks, because it's all going to be sort of in the center of the plant.
Right, right.
And so that will actually lower the entire size of the plant by removing a third of the big old canes.
Uh-huh.
Then you'll just do some minor pruning for shape.
Right.
Looking at some of the younger growth, trying to open the plant up, maximize the sun penetration, the airflow, and also avoid any kind of interfering branches, branches that are rubbing up against each other.
Okay.
So those kinds of things can come out at the same time, and you'll see all of it very clearly before the leaves grow.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you, Charlie.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Take care of the folks in Fenland Falls for us. Okay.
Yeah.
Coming around to 9:30, I'd like to acknowledge, Charlie, with your permission here, a wonderful little letter that I received from Betty Howlett, who listens into the gardening show, and she sent me a couple of poems, and they come from a book of similar writings called The Works by Pam Ayres. So with that in mind, let me read just a few stanzas, if I may.
Oh, of course. That would be lovely.
One of the poems, The Gardening Man. Oh, let us salute him, the gardening man, alone with his thoughts and his watering can, a song in his heart, a pain in his back, and all his tomatoes are starting to crack. The flies on the carrot, the spots on the rose, every joy of the garden he knows, the feel of the compost, the clink of the pot, the neck of his onions all starting to rot. You know, and it goes on from there. And there's another one, but we haven't got the time for the whole thing. But thank you very much. I appreciate that so much, Betty.
And I just, when you read that, I see you standing out there in your garden, tools
on the balcony.
At the ready.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. On the balcony.
That's cute. Good,
that is good. Well, and that's, I love that. Tomatoes are starting to crack. All right. And one thing I'd like to share as well. I did receive an email from one of our listeners, Betty Percy. She was responding with a suggestion for one of the callers from last week who called when you weren't here. You probably would have been able to help with this, being the sous chef.
Well, of course.
But I only had the under sous chef here last week, and I didn't have a good answer for the caller who was calling about mice in her shed.
Ah.
All right. So she was wondering, what do I do? Like, how do I avoid mice moving into the shed this fall? So what Betty suggested is that her next door neighbor had mice in her shed, and she was told to put mint in her shed as mice do not like the smell of it.
Huh.
So mint juleps all around.
Ooh.
This particular neighbor had mint planted in her garden, so she put it in the shed. Betty says, I would think if you do not have the mint plant, you could use peppermint extract by putting a little in a container to try. She also saw, the email says, she saw where at one of the, it's called Fawcett Motors in Whitby. You can buy a package of four for $19.99 mice repellent. They say mice hate it, but it's a nice smell for people. Mm. So why would a Fawcett Motors be selling mice repellent?
I don't know.
It turns out that Fawcett Motors is an antique car dealer in Whitby, and they recommend it for people who have cars that are put away for the winter.
Oh, and they don't want the mice to be chewing up
the upholstery.
The Dave Redeker out there, he's listening to that right now.
I would hope
he
is, or maybe he's even got a suggestion whether this works. So this is some kind of a mice repellent that is sold for cars.
Right.
And so the idea was perhaps that might work in the shed. So that was just a good suggestion from one of our listeners. So thank you for that. I do love it when we get suggestions from others besides.
And kind of oddball things, you know? Because after all,
gardeners do tend to be oddball.
Well, we know that for sure.
They are characters. Yeah, look at us after all.
Okay.
Well, maybe not you, but
no,
look at me.
No, of course not. No, I know you didn't
mean
that.
You're a regular person.
Thank you. you know my diet completely, don't you? Yes, of course. Kathy in Grimsby. Hello and good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I love the poem, and good morning to you both.
Thank
you. Good morning, Kathy. Yep.
I have a variegated impatience that I've been growing for a number of years now, thanks to a friend of mine. Something has hit them this year. I've never seen it before, and now it's affecting the regular impatience as well. And I was wondering if you've heard of any blight that's hit the country that's affecting impatience, because I was talking to my brother-in-law in England, and he said there was an article in their paper about there is something hitting impatience over there.
Hmm.
But it's devastating because this variegated one, you can't buy it anywhere.
No.
And I just rely on cuttings every year, but my garden at the front, they're completely gone, so I'm going to have to rip them out. But
so tell me what happened. They just collapsed before your very eyes? Or
Well, it starts at the top where the growth is, and it droops over, and then it starts turning brown, and then the leaves just start dropping off it.
Wow.
I know, and when it hit the other impatiens, it hasn't touched. I also have fibrous begonias in there, and they're fine.
Right.
But I didn't know if you had heard of anything.
I honestly haven't, though I'm happy to look it up and see if I can find something for next week.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah, and this is something where you've treated them the same in terms of fertilizer and water, and
yep,
the location
yep.
is similar to where they've been for years.
Yep.
And
yep.
all of a sudden, so the, it started with the variegated, and now it's going yes. to the straight green as well.
Yeah, it almost looked like somebody had come along and sprayed them, because it happened so fast. And I thought, oh, my God, what's happening, you know?
Hmm.
But it spread right across the front now. So.
And do you have some in the back as well?
I do. I noticed today just near my garage one there, so I cut it off straight away and put it in the garbage.
Right.
But I'm going to start Good taking idea. Cuttings now in case I lose them. But,
and a suggestion when you are taking your cuttings, just, you know, in case this is some kind of a disease that you want to be really careful you don't
right.
have it. If you get it in one, you don't want it in at all.
No.
Remember when you're doing your cuttings, whatever you're cutting with, whether it's scissors or pruners or whatever,
okay.
dip your blade into a solution of bleach and water.
Okay.
In between cuts.
Okay.
Just to do a sort of sterilization of the blade.
Right.
And when you, how do you normally root your cuttings? Do you just use water or do you
use water.
Water. If you have the space and the ability to do so, I would be inclined to keep all the plants separate, individual containers of water, if you can. I know typically
oh,
you probably
oh,
put
oh my gosh.
yeah, 20 into a jar or whatever. But
yeah.
But or at least try and keep them sort of by plant, if you will, so that
okay.
all your cuttings from one plant stay together in, say,
stay
one
together.
Jar.
Okay.
And again, have them, if they're on a windowsill, just try to not have them touching or whatever.
Right.
Try and sort of make it possible that you will have some survival in case there does this blight
yes.
does continue. But all, like okay. I say, I'll look it up and see if I can report anything for next week.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much.
All right. Thanks,
okay,
Kathy.
Take care and have a good weekend.
Thank you, Kathy.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye now. 9:36 here on a Saturday morning, AM 740. It's The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin and your sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, along with our producer, of course, David Gaskin, with whom we couldn't get along.
we wouldn't get any calls, frankly.
No, it'd be a pretty boring show.
And he breaks up fights between us, too, which is good.
Well, he's a bit of a referee of that, too. Norm in Beaton is calling, oh, good heavens, about Creeping Charlie. Well, let's see what's going on there. Hi, Norm.
How are you?
Good.
Morning, Norm.
Morning. This here stuff started, oh, I guess a couple of years ago after they'd taken the weed and feed off the market and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just grows like wildfire. And it's like a vine, and it grows underneath the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got it an area, I'm going to say 20 or 30 feet long and by about 5 feet wide, and it keeps expanding
mm-hmm.
every year.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you can use to kill this?
Well, yes, theoretically, you can use the product out there that's called Weed Be Gone. And,
oh, yeah.
of course, Weed Be Gone is a high iron spray that
right.
should annihilate plants that are growing in your lawn that are not grass plants. And Creeping Charlie is not a grass plant. It is a broadleafed plant, and it should be annihilated. The trick with Creeping Charlie, though, is that it's a perennial. So the older the plant is, the bigger the root is, the more established the plant is, and the harder it is to kill.
Right.
So what I would do is I'd get right on this. I mean, it's very get on it in the spring if you're going to use spraying as your way to try and control it. Recognize you're going to have to spray more than once. Just like you would if you were using 2,4-D back in the Killex days, you would have had to spray more than once because this is a pretty tough plant to kill. It's not called Creeping Charlie for no reason at all. It's a pretty tenacious plant. Now, the other thing would be to suffocate using a tarpaulin or using literally like cardboard over top and just kill everything in that swath and then go back after you've killed everything and plant grass. That would be the other option.
If I were to use this weed thing that you're referring to,
mm-hmm.
would my wife breeds toy poodles.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to hurt them.
Yeah, no, that's one of the, kind of nice things about our current pesticide laws is that everything that is registered for use are things that will become completely inert and not cause designed and registered to not cause any long-term damage to anything in the environment other than what they're specifically designed to do. The Weed Be Gone is actually a fertilizer. So when we spray it, we actually will see the plants turn a little bit black and grow, and ultimately what happens is the lawn survives and the plants we don't want in the lawn should die. But the big, very established weeds can be a bit tough and may take two sprays.
Well, my neighbors told me that if you use two cups of vinegar,
mm-hmm.
A cup of table salt, and 2 tablespoons of dish soap, mix it all together.
You should see the shaking of the head going on here with Charlie. No, no, no. Nanu.
Well, okay, the vinegar will kill everything, as will the salt. So, yes, it'd be similar to, like I said, you know, suffocating and killing everything with a tarpaulin.
Right.
The bad thing about using salt is that you then have residue in your soil, and it's very difficult to go back and grow anything healthy in that soil.
Okay, so Weed Be Gone would be the thing to use.
I would do that, or, like I say, I would use a physical barrier to just, you know, cause that plant to die due to lack of sun and water.
Okay.
So one or the other. And the other thing, remember, like a dish detergent, you know, I love those mixtures, the homemade recipes.
Yeah.
That'll give everything a nice, they'll be clean.
but it's right out.
Not going to kill anything.
Gee, Norma, at the beginning of the call there, I presume it was one of your toy poodles, not your wife, who made her or his radio debut. Was that a toy poodle we heard?
Yes.
Yeah, what was...
We have 3 of them, and one of them's just had babies.
Oh.
And I guess they heard something outside, and they bark.
Could have been
sweet.
The sound of my voice that set them off.
Scared
you know,
them
yeah.
No,
for
no,
sure.
No. No, we got 2 red ones and a white one.
Well, that's great.
How many puppies?
2 puppies.
Oh, boy.
And they're born September the 1st.
Oh, nice.
Oh, so a little wee guy.
Just a couple weeks
old.
Yeah. I mean, they fit in my hand, and I'm a very tiny person.
Well, I can't have my wife see them. We'd be adopting
them
immediately. Oh, we're suckers for dogs.
And
honest,
your cat wouldn't like that.
No, Dickens. He'd lodge a complete...
Get the petition going.
Oh, Lord, yes. Hey, thanks very much, Norm. Hope
good luck with that, Norm.
Charlie's been of help.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Good luck with that.
9:42.
Speaking of Dickens,
time, yes.
My kitty cat, his name is Carter, and he went out frolicking this morning. It was still dark when I got up, and he just loves to get out as soon as he can in the morning. He went out, puts his little collar on, off he goes. Not 5 minutes later, he's at the door. His claws are full of black fur. He doesn't have any black fur in him.
Uh-oh.
And his collar was all askew.
I see.
He had run into somebody who wasn't too friendly out there. It was time to come back in.
Is he fixed?
Yes, yes, of course, yes.
Maybe he was just out canceling appointments, you know?
He might have been. But he did come in with some extra fur, I'll tell you.
Ah, there you go.
But no blood, so that was a good thing.
Okay. We have to take a little bit of a break here, and we'll be back to talk to Jimmy and Jean and a whole bunch of other folks that our producer, David, has lined up. Meantime, you are listening to AM 740 here in Toronto, Zoomer Radio.
There are hundreds of sources for tips on gardening, but you need only one. The AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin continues.
Jimmy.
And it's Frank Proctor along here. I might do to repeat the phone number since we might have new listeners who have never called the show before and saying, I want to ask a question. How do I do it? Okay. If you're in Toronto, 416-360-0740. And then, of course, anywhere else in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-0740. 4740. I presume our next caller is sort of a regular listener here. Jimmy, hello from Oakville. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, sir?
Good, good.
Good morning.
Morning, Charlie. How are you doing today?
Great. What's going on in your garden?
Well, this is an indoor plant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of a plant it is, but it's growing like a tree. It doesn't go too big, and it has very small green leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my problem is that we water the plant once a week in the home.
Mm-hmm.
On the last time, which was Thursday, when I watered it, there was a lot of mushrooms and fungus there in the soil.
Hmm. Right. So that's worrying you.
Yes. I want to know how come the mushrooms came up there and what's the fungus?
Well, that's what's so interesting about mushrooms. Mushrooms, of course, are a fungus. It's probably, when was the last time, is this a new plant or you've had it for many years?
I had it for many years. It's 11 years old.
And when did you last repot it?
About 6 years ago.
That long ago. Okay. All right. So what happens is, okay, so a fungus has, fungal spores are so small, right? They're microscopic. So for whatever reason, a spore landed in the soil. The soil is being kept moist enough that the spore germinated, just like a seed germinates, and starts to grow. And right. So a little fungal spore germinates and becomes thread-like. You can't, again, can't even see. It's called mycelium inside the soil. The little mushroom that pokes up above ground like that is what we call the fruiting body, and that's what sets off more spores. So to eliminate, two things you can do. One is when you see any evidence of the mushrooms, remove them, even if it's just with a, you know, a knife or a fork, just sever them off at ground level and put them right into the garbage. And I would cut back on my watering. I would get a hold, if it's a big plant, it sounds like it's a fairly, you know, big plant in a good sized pot. Get a hold of a moisture meter. That's one of the probes that is about a foot long and you can stick it right down into the soil. Find out what your moisture level is below the surface. And I would use a moisture meter to water less, but of course not water so little that the plant suffers and, you know, dies from lack of water. Mm-hmm. But if the soil is constantly moist, you're setting up an environment that's a good environment for the fungus.
Okay.
Okay. So less water will mean that the fungus will not grow as effectively. Ultimately, to really, really eliminate it, you would have to repot the plant into brand new fresh soil. But with a big plant, it's the kind of thing it's better to do outside, and I would put something like that off till spring if I could.
Yes,
but if it's really worrying you, you could do it this fall.
No, I think I can do it. If the I'll see how bad they are,
okay.
And if I have to repot it, I can do it now. Otherwise, I'll have to wait till spring.
Yeah, till spring, because, you know, big plants like that, you have to lay them down, and, you know, it's lots of newspaper spread out, and it's right. Quite a hard thing to do. But that's your ultimate solution, like I say, is to get brand new, fresh, sterile soil, potting soil, and start again.
Right.
Okay.
The other question, Charlie, is that this,
Jimmy, I'm sorry, we can only have one question per call.
About the moisture meter, it's not being from Canadian Tire.
I think they'd have them at Canadian Tire for sure. They haven't at any good garden center.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're
thank
very
you, Jimmy.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. You people have a good weekend.
And
thank
you
very much. It's tough being a cop.
Know.
You know, it really is.
You do such a good
the
job.
The training at Aylmer is just, that's a 3-month long thing that just about killed me.
But you're good. I mean,
yes,
look, you're a natural.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And friendly at the same time.
Yes, I write out tickets with a smile. You know what? It's almost break
so
time
close.
Here. So let us maybe do that, do you think?
Let us. Did you bring
let us?
Are we hungry?
Let us. Yes.
Got some tomato to go with that lettuce?
Oh, well, that's a 5-carat ring I see you have here. So, heavens to Betsy Frank. Let's just say it. Let's just say Sierracil and get on with
it. Get on with
it,
exactly. Sierracil is something that both Frank and I take to keep ourselves active, pain-free and active. Now, Sierracil is something you can learn more about over the internet, so sierracil.ca. You can also call the wonderful people in Vancouver.
Yeah, the nice people to deal with. They really are.
Yeah. The number is simple. It's 1-877-JOINT-14. If you want to pick up, and of course, they'll mail you the product, but you can also buy Sierracil at any of the good natural food stores that might be in your area, stores like the Big Carrot, Nature's Source in Mississauga, or the Peanut Mill in St. Catharines all carry Sierracil.
There you go.
Friends say she's down to earth, and that's usually where you'll find her. Welcome back to the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And here we are, ready to speak with Val, who's calling in from Guildwood. Hi, Val. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Always a wonderful program, Charlie. Thank you so much. I have a very beautiful coleus, and I believe it's new this year. It's called Stained Glassworks.
Oh, yeah, the stained glass works as a whole series, and there's different varieties of different
colors. Oh, well, this is Eruption.
Colors.
Eruption.
Oh, nice.
That's... Yes, and now it's on my back step. Now, is this the time to bring it in, Charlie?
Well, we don't have any frost in the imminent future, but definitely yes. I would make every effort to bring that in this weekend if you can.
And shall I cut it back?
Well, actually, what I there's two ways you can deal with coleus. One would be to take cuttings and bring those in and leave.
I have done that.
Leave the mother plant outside. The other thing, if you've done that, you've got some cuttings inside now.
Yes.
Right. So, when it comes to the main mother plant, I would just bring it in as is. Of course, you want to make sure it's got no bugs on it.
No.
So it's a very thorough wash and drain. And I'll even immerse the entire pot into a big tub of water so that if there's any sow bugs or earwigs or any, you know, even worms or anybody hiding out in the soil, they will float out of that the root ball into the tub of water. So
well,
you can,
I can't kill a fly, so
but you don't have to kill them.
Pick them up and put them back in the earth.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you just scoop them out of the water and then put them back outside, or you know, put them back in the ground. Main thing is you just don't want to bring them in if you can avoid.
No, I can understand.
Because you know those millipedes walking across the living room floor can freak people out.
No.
So then they do like to hide in soil. So the thing is, bring it inside and then just put it in the sunniest spot you've got.
I've got a solarium.
Perfect. And just care for it all winter.
Yes.
You will need to. You know, water as required.
Yes.
And then as we get into the days start to elongate in February, that's when I would do some cutting back and shaping it up in preparation for it to be a beautiful plant to go out in the spring.
Thank you very much, Charlie.
Val, when your location came up on our monitor, Guildwood, I said, gee, now, what am I, is the Guild Inn out there, is that still in operation? Or
No, not for 9 years. It's been closed, but... Paul Ainslie and a lot of the councillors are trying to do something to bring it back for us. But I
understand it was once a beautiful property.
Oh, I worked there for 9 years.
Oh, you? Really?
So part of my life is in there.
Yeah.
Well, gee, you know, give me a call at the station sometime. This same number you've called when I'm on the air from 11 to 1 at some point. Give me a call, and we'll maybe get to know a little bit about the building and see if we can kind of help out, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Okay.
Well, it's got a very interesting history attached to it as well, but I was telling Frank, it's lovely. It was a lovely, it's like a Hollywood set, the way it was all designed.
Yes, so, they're still making movies there, believe it or not.
I bet they are.
Oh, terrific. Okay, yeah, give me a shout.
Thank you very much. I will.
Thank you, Val.
Thank you very much.
We have time for another caller here for sure. Lynn in Crystal Beach calling in. Hi, Lynn. Good morning.
Hi, everybody. How are you this morning?
Morning.
Great.
I would like to know if you have, Charlie, the recipe for the green tomato jam. I haven't heard it this year.
That's good. Good point, actually. Now, do I have that with me? Probably not. But you know, I know it's on our website. Do you have access to the internet?
Yes.
Well, if you go to AM740, the website am740.ca.
AM740.ca.
That's right. And if you look, it'll have a section where it talks about the hosts. And if you find me as a host,
Charlie,
under Charlie Dobbin, you will find the recipe for the green tomato jam.
Really?
Because what it is it's using green tomatoes that are obviously not ripe green tomatoes. When frost is coming and we don't want to just watch those green tomatoes turn to dust outside or mush.
Exactly.
Bring them in, and of course they're still hard and not very edible. It's an amazing way. I know it's putting them in a pot with raspberry Jell-O.
Jell-O, yes.
And I believe some sugar and no water. I think it's just.
It seemed to me that there was like 6 cups of.
Green tomatoes.
Was it 6 cups of green tomatoes, was it 6 cups of sugar?
Yeah, it's possible. It seems like a lot of sugar,
doesn't it?
Okay, so it's on the website, and what I'll do is I'll bring it with me next week as well.
Oh, that would be wonderful. So, I never miss your show, and I didn't think we had it on this year.
Not yet, but it's an amazing way to use green tomatoes.
It makes
raspberry jam that you can't believe has tomatoes in it.
Yeah, well, you can use the strawberry jam, too.
That's right.
The strawberry Jell-O, too.
That's right, exactly.
I was telling one of the people in Fond Hill, or Fenwick, where they have this little garden and center, and you can buy everything, right?
Mm-hmm,
peaches
mm-hmm.
and everything. And I was telling her about it, and she said, "Oh, I need that recipe," because she sells the jams and the jellies.
Yeah.
And I said, "I have it," but of course, I couldn't find it as it goes. And I have a lot of green tomatoes, and I'm just itching to make it. And I thought, I will get on that show and get that recipe.
There you go.
And I don't have it at the tips of my fingers, but we will definitely announce it next week. And like I say, it is on our website. I know that.
Yeah, I just don't want to go back to the garden center and not have it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks all so right. much. Have a good weekend.
Thanks
both
for
of you.
Asking, Lynn.
Thank you very much, Lynn.
Charlie, or not Charlie, but Frank, you didn't say anything about the wedding.
Oh, I'm going to be telling you on my show.
Okay.
I'm hoping, hopefully, to have my son on the air, if I can get a hold
okay.
of him today.
I thought that was very strange that you didn't say anything.
Yeah, it was fabulous, but I'll tell you more between 11
okay.
and 1.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you
Thanks
very
for
much.
Call. Well, and, it's true I didn't yeah, ask. I guess well, I should have said something right off the top. You know,
it,
how
it
did
was,
it go,
it was
new father-in-law?
Fabulous.
Yes.
It was fabulous. And we, well, I'll tell you more about it, and I want to thank some people in particular, but I've never seen a happier couple, honest to Pete. Oh, it was
And
it
your
was so
son
great.
May join you on the your show later.
Well,
this
I'm
afternoon.
Hoping to connect via phone and have him kind of describe.
He's a newlywed. He's busy.
Well, no. I'll tell you what happened is they as soon as they got married, the Proctor factor kicked in, and all sorts of untoward things happened. Oh Lord, and even before the wedding, but it was
all
great.
All happy endings.
It was a happy ending.
That's good. Well, I'm glad you had fun. We did miss you last week.
Well, bless your heart.
And but you know, like I say, Robbie does know. He's pretty good at stepping in and doing what needs to be done.
He certainly is. Yeah. And I have to step out now because we've got to make room for Dave Redinger and Alan Gelman and the whole crew from Dave's Corner Garage.
That's absolutely right. So thank you again for all your good help today and in the future.
Well, you haven't got a pink slip in your... No, we presume we're back next week, same time, same station.
Yes, we hope so.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, David. Thanks to all our great callers. See you next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.